This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, how do you handle it when people don't treat you right? Christians, you will be mistreated sometimes. Amen? You will have to deal with the fact that people will not always treat you the way they should. And understand, when you are being mistreated by somebody, you are facing a situation that is vitally significant for your success in life. Because understand, when you are being mistreated, that is one of the most frustrating and painful experiences that you will go through in life. Isn't that right? When somebody's not treating you right, doesn't that hurt? Oh, yes. It's painful. And when you are being mistreated, catch this, that is a test of your testimony. Because the thing that's going to show how much of Christ is living in you is not when everything is going fine. How many of you like a compliment? Let me just see. Now, if you don't raise your hand, I'm not going to give you any, all right? Amen. Yeah. When you're being complimented and everybody's patting you on the back and telling you how good you are, isn't that nice? And you kind of feel like that's the way it ought to be. Amen. But that's not the test. You know what the test is? When somebody is getting on you and you feel like it's unfair. Somebody's not treating you the way you should be treated. Somebody's not respecting you the way you should be respected. Somebody's doing something to you that they shouldn't be doing, and they think they're right, but you know they're wrong. That's when the test is. And the way you respond to that shows what kind of testimony you have. Let's take it one step further. When we are being mistreated, we need to know we are in a battle. We are in a battle that we have to win. Because catch it, here's what's going on when you are being mistreated by somebody else in the spiritual perspective. When you are being mistreated, you are under attack. Do you know that? Satan will use that attack against you to try to defeat you spiritually when somebody is mistreating you. And if you handle it right, guess what? You move forward. Isn't that great? Amen. But if you don't handle it right, anybody have an idea what happens? When we mishandle the situation, when somebody doesn't treat us right, we take three steps back in losing the battle in our lives. The issue is not whether or not we as Christians are going to be mistreated. I can promise you, you will be. Now, I'm going to do my best not to mistreat you. Amen. And your brothers and sisters here today are going to do their best not to mistreat you. Amen. Amen. Guess what? You're going to feel like you're mistreated anyway. Should I do this? Okay, I'm going to do this. How many of you who are married have ever felt like you were mistreated by your mate? Let me just see. Uh-huh. Amen. No. Amen. All right. Now catch it. Let's go forward on the assumption that your mate loves you. Amen. They didn't intend to mistreat you, but for whatever was going on in their life, for whatever was happening in the home, for whatever the situation was with your family or with their job or with your kids or whatever it was, for whatever reason, what they said, what they did came across to you as you being mistreated. You're going to have to deal with being mistreated in life. Christians are not exempt. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Here's the guarantee that you will have to deal with being mistreated if you are a Christian. Jesus himself told us that mistreatment will come if you are a Christian, if you're living for him. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. People are going to mistreat you. Jesus said, if they mistreated me, why would you think they will not mistreat you? What to a large extent is going to determine our success or failure in life as a Christian is how we respond when we are mistreated. Because think about it. What happens when we feel like somebody has not treated us right? Well, it arouses emotions, fear, anger, frustrations. And when we get those emotions, what do we feel like doing? Striking back. Isn't that right? Retaliating against that person. That's what's normal. That's the natural reaction when we feel as if we have been mistreated. Go over to James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Let me show you why it is so much of the time that even we as Christians cannot get God to fight our battle for us because we're so busy trying to fight it for ourselves. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Look at this. Somebody has mistreated you, has not treated you right. And what does God say about it? Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Let's just stop right there. I asked how many had been mistreated, and everybody raised their hand. Let me just see. How many of us, when somebody mistreated us, we reacted by speaking evil of that person? And let me just see. Come on. Amen. Honesty time. Hallelujah. When we speak evil of those who mistreat us, you know what we're doing? Trying to pull out the devil's weapon. Look at this. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Do you see it? Somebody mistreats us. We come back at them. We got something nasty to say about them. And when we say it, what position do we put ourselves in? The position of the judge. Amen? And yet there's only one judge. And so if we try to put ourselves in the position of the judge, what do we got to say to God? Move over, God. I'm going to take this seat. I'm going to sit on this bench. And do you know what God will do? Catch it. God will move over. He will. Because what is he saying? Look, if you want to position yourself in the position of a judge, okay, go right ahead. Guess what? I'm not going to be there. You are now on your own. See, God wants to fight your battles even against those who mistreat you. But if we're going to try to take his place, guess what? God will say, okay, take it. And now deal with it. And take the consequences. Here's the wonderful thing. You do not have to talk bad about those who treat you bad. Amen? Is that a revelation to anybody? You do not have to talk bad about people who treat you bad. Amen? In fact, catch it. You do not have to slap down people who attack you in order to keep them from doing it again. Is this a revelation? You don't have to sit in the place of a judge. Why? Go over to Psalms 118, verse 6. Look at this. Here's the attitude that you as a Christian need to have when people begin to mistreat you. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Do you see it? Catch the attitude here. The Lord is on my side. Who do I need to be afraid of? What can any human being do to me? Understand what the word is telling us is, if you are walking in position with Christ, he is by your side in order to fight your battle for you. He's able to deal with whoever it is that comes against you, whoever it is that wants to mistreat you. Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Here's the verse that you as a Christian have got to know how to take seriously in your life if you are going to handle it right when somebody starts to mistreat you. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Some of you know this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Who is going to fight the battle when somebody is trying to mistreat you? God says, no weapon that's formed against me will prosper. Amen. How many of you have ever been talked about behind your back? Amen. How many of you ever tried to deal with it by jumping on the person that talked to you or talked about you? Anybody ever tried that? How well did that work? Did they say, oh, you're right, I'll stop? did that happen to anybody? No. Guess what? You can't handle it. No matter what you do, no matter how you try to retaliate, you can't make somebody stop talking about you behind your back. But guess what? God can. Amen? And look at what he says. He said, no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. Doesn't matter what they try to do. Doesn't matter what they have to say. Do you know that you do not have to protect your reputation? Amen? You don't have to protect your reputation. Number one, you can't. You can't. There is no way you can stop people talking about you. Amen? Let me tell you, I'm a pastor. Priscilla's a pastor's wife. You know what one of the first things we discovered is? You can't stop people from talking. Amen? There is no way. But God can. So what do? We put our reputation in his hands. Amen? Because what did he promise? Look at it again. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. And look at this. Look at the next part of this. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, what's going to happen? You shall condemn it. They're trying to condemn you. What does God promise? You'll condemn them. Amen? Not by coming back at them, but by allowing God to handle it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. If you're a Christian, you can expect, you can count on it, that God will deal with anybody that comes to try to mistreat you. Now, isn't that good? God will deal with anybody that wants to try to mistreat you. Go over to Proverbs chapter 16. Look at the promise that God makes. It's Proverbs 16:7. Look at what God can do for you when somebody in your life is mistreating you. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Do you see what God can do for you? You don't have to fight this battle for yourself. You don't have to try to retaliate and make sure that they'll never do it again. All you need to do is put it in God's hands, and God has made the promise. He can make even your enemies be at peace if you'll walk in a way that pleases him. Well, how do you do that? Go back and look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verse 15. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed. of this great multitude. When somebody comes and is mistreating you, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't allow anger and frustration to take over and cause you to react. Instead, just know it. The battle is not yours, but God's. You need to put the battle in God's hands. You need to allow God to deal with whoever it is that's trying to mistreat you. How does he do it? Look at verse 15 again. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now look at what happened. First of all, God gave them the assurance that he would fight the battle for them. But then secondly, he said, here's how you handle it. Here is how you position yourself. God will fight your battle, but he needs for you to get into the proper position for him to do it. There's certain things that God wants us to do in order that he can fight that battle for us when somebody's trying to mistreat us. Well, what are some of the things that God wants to do in order to cause that battle to be won? Go over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. For those of you who've been in Bible study, this is familiar territory for you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. How do you fight the battle? What position does God want us to get in so that he can fight the battle for us? Here it is in Matthew 5, 43 and 44. Somebody is mistreating you. Somebody is talking bad about you. Somebody's cheating you. Somebody is doing awful things behind your back. Here's how you fight the battle. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, isn't that a strange way to fight the battle when somebody is treating you wrong? That's a strange way to fight the battle, isn't it? But let me show you how God is. Go back over to 2 Chronicles chapter 22, or excuse me, chapter 20, verse 22. Let me show you how God works. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting with verse 22. Now this army is coming against Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And God says, okay, I want you to go out against them. But look at how they went out. Did they go out with the spears and the shields first? No, look at it. Starting with verse 22. Now when they began to do what? To sing and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, isn't that a silly way to fight a battle against an army coming to destroy you? You go out and start singing. Isn't that something? But that's God's way. That's God's weapons. Amen? And look at what happens. Now, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Do you see what God did? The people of Judah did not have enough strength to defeat this army. But God said, go out there, and when you go out singing and praising me. Hallelujah. And when they did, you know what God did? God worked on the enemy, got the enemy to ambush one another, to destroy one another. Do you know God does the same thing today? Some of you have heard one of my Mexico stories. Can I tell it again? I am going to anyway. Amen. I was on a mission trip to Mexico. And I had a team, and we were working out of a church in Mexico City. And so I sent the members of my team out to, you know, go door to door and pass out tracts and so forth. And I was going to go into another part of the city to kind of scout the land for where we would go the next day. And the church we were working out of, I gave the key to the church to one of my team members because I thought they would probably get back before I did. So I go down into this section of the city, and I get down there, and nobody told me that this was the bad part of town. So I'm walking around there, you know, just all happy and everything, and some guys come up to me. And they said, give us some money. Now, let me be very clear about this. Normally, if you find yourself in that situation and some tough people come up to you and say, give me some money, your answer is, how much do you want? All right? You don't fight that. All right? But in this case, I felt that God was telling me, don't do that. I felt God was telling me, don't give in to these people. And they were very threatening. And, you know, and it was interesting. I'll give a little sidelight here. You know, I told them what I was doing. And I said, don't you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, we believe in Jesus. I said, do you think that Jesus would want you to be doing what you're doing? They say, no, but we still want the money. And I started walking back to the church. Now, the problem was, I had given the key to somebody else. I couldn't get in the church. So they followed me back to the church. And there we are standing outside the church. I don't know what I'm going to do. I couldn't get into the church. And just at the point when they were really starting to get mad, one of them reached down, picked up a broken bottle. All right? And you know what happened next? I don't know how God did it. But the next thing I knew, they were arguing with one another. they're standing there arguing. And while they're arguing with one another, I remembered one of the church members lived across the street. I just walked on across the street into the house of that church member. Now catch it. God fought my battle. Amen? God fought my battle. Understand, you know, I'm a pretty big guy, but if I'd been trying to jump on top of them, man, you probably wouldn't have me here now. But God fought that battle for me. And that's what God wants us to do, to allow him to fight the battle whenever somebody is trying to mistreat you. People are going to hurt you. Amen? People are going to say things that are hurtful. People are going to do things that you feel are backhanded, that's deceitful, harmful. It's going to happen to you as a Christian, but you need to let God fight the battle. You don't want to be trying to find your own piece of glass. You don't want to be trying to draw your own gun. You want to say, God, you judge them. I'm not going to try to judge them. Lord, I put it all in your hands. You handle it. I'm just going to fight the battle with the weapons that you gave me. And what are the weapons again that God gave us to fight the battle with? Here they are from Matthew 5, 43 and 44 again. He said what? You shall love your enemies. When somebody mistreats you, the first commitment that you as a Christian has is to love that person. Is that easy or is it hard? That's hard, isn't it? The only way you can do it is to call upon the love of Jesus. Look at it again. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And when you do that, you will be in position for God to fight the battle in your behalf. Can you see yourself? Somebody is saying awful things to you, doing awful things to you. You look at them and whether you say it out of your mouth, you say it in your heart. Brother, sister, I love you with the love of Christ. I'm praying for you. And I'm praying, oh, catch this now, this is hard. I'm praying that God will show me a way that I can bless you. Oh, isn't that tough? Yes. But guess what? If we will put ourselves in that position, then God says he will fight the battle for us. Remember what we saw in Proverbs? God can make even our enemies be at peace with us. If we'll just get ourselves into the right position and stay there, the position of love, the position of blessing, the position of praying for our enemies instead of retaliating against them. Christian, you will be mistreated. Some will mistreat you deliberately, and some will mistreat you because they just don't know any better. But understand, God wants to fight that battle for you. Amen? You don't have to fight it for yourself. But if you allow your flesh to come back at them the way they came at you, you are out of position and you are on your own. But if you will call on Jesus, Lord, give me the love that I don't have right now. Lord, the last thing I feel is love right now. But I want to honor you. I want to follow you. Lord, you give me your love for this person that's mistreating me. Lord, you put a watch on my tongue. Don't let me come back at them. Don't let me speak what is really in my mind to speak about them, Lord. Oh, Lord, no, you changed my mind, Father. Help me to see them as somebody that Jesus died for just as much as he died for me. And Lord, you know, I know in your sight they are no worse than I am. You love them as much as you love me. So Lord, give me that love and let me speak out of that love and not out of all of this pain that they have thrown my way. And Lord, I pray for them. And please don't pray this prayer. Lord, give them what they deserve. No. Lord, give them grace. Bless them, Lord. Give them what they need. Amen. And when that happens, go over to Romans chapter 12. Look at verses 19 through 21. Let me tell you what will happen. When we position ourselves in the place of loving obedience to Christ, when somebody is not treating us right, Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. If he is thirsty, do what? Give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And look at what the result will be. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. The devil will instigate people mistreating you in order to do evil to you. And how can you overcome it? Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with the weapons that God has given us. Love, prayer, and blessing. All for the person who is mistreating you. And when you do, God will fight the battle. And guess what? He always wins.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.